Amen. Thanks, Jeff. And just like Jeff said, just thank you. This has been an amazing time these last several weeks. And even Jeff and I talked beforehand and just how much he was going to throw my name into the mix, just because in the reality, it's just such a team endeavor to make this happen. You've probably noticed there's been a lot of different individuals on the stage using their gifts to teach and to sharpen us all, table leaders, co-leaders, things like that. And then you as participants for giving us your time and valuing your time with us and saying, hey, I want to be sharpened in these things of spiritual disciplines. Jason, our resident, Danae, our admin, just the team that God's woven together here. I'm excited to be a part of and excited to do life continuously here. And so I don't know about you, but my wife and I this summer were just glued to the TV. We were watching the Olympic Games. And so we just loved just every part of that pageantry. We loved the swimming, the gymnastics, the swimming, the track and field events, the swimming. And did I mention the swimming? Because that's really all they showed during prime time. But we were glued to it, just watching every single thing unfold. And throughout it all, we noticed that there was this like 1-to-5 ratio between the actual event and commercials. And so you would see like Usain Bolt run the 100-meter dash in like 4 seconds. And then you would go to like 4 minutes of commercials. And so we kind of had to bear through the commercials in order to actually watch the Olympics itself. And so the only thing that made the commercials bearable was that the fact that the Olympic athletes were the stars of the commercials. And so certain commercials made sense for those Olympic athletes to be in. Things like running gear, Nike, even yogurt seemed to be a popular one this year. Those made sense. But there was one at the very beginning that for me and my wife were watching just didn't make sense at all. We were thinking an Olympic athlete probably wouldn't be promoting this product. And so I don't know if you remember it. There was this hopeful Olympic athlete. He wanted to be a swimmer in the Olympics. I don't believe he made it, maybe because of what he was promoting. But he was going through his morning routine. And he was explaining to the camera just everything he does, that he wakes up at this time, that he moves throughout his day, he hits the weights, he goes to the pool, he does yoga on the beach, like all this crazy stuff. And then he ends by saying, you know what gets me going in the morning? Fruit Loops. I'm no nutritionalist, all right? But you don't have to be one to kind of think through those two things and go, okay, Olympic athlete, sugary kids cereal doesn't really connect, right? Because we all instinctively know that Olympic athletes have to hold themselves to a certain standard, have to prepare in a certain way. And what's ironic is that we kind of think that we don't hold ourselves to that same standard, and rightfully so, because while I'm watching that commercial play out, no joke, I'm literally sitting there eating my favorite cereal, which just happens to be Fruit Loops, with marshmallows in them. Yeah, they're amazing and awful for you. But I'm sitting there eating it like he can't do that. But like I'm eating it myself. And so I'm instinctively holding this guy to a different standard that I'm not even holding myself to, because that's what we do. We look at these individuals, these Olympic athletes, and we go, hey, that person has devoted their entire life to this one singular event. And so you watch like the women's gymnastic team and you hear these young girls saying, hey, I've never been on a date. I've never been to a school dance. I've never seen a movie in theaters. I've never had a weekend off. Everything in my life is devoted towards this one singular end. And then you hear guys like Michael Phelps and just the calorie intake he does because of how much he works out throughout the day. And I'm sitting there going, man, if I ate as much as he did, I'd be huge. But that's why he's the Olympic athlete and I'm sitting at home eating Fruit Loops, all right? There's a reality that we hold these athletes, these Olympians to a certain standard. We expect a certain level of preparation, a certain level of dedication, a certain level of focus in their life, that everything in their life is bent towards this one singular end. And the reality of it is, when we think Christian, we should really think the same thing. That for the Christian, there's this one singular goal that 1 Corinthians says is to glorify God. Whether we eat or drink, do everything in our lives to glorify God. And so we as Christians should have that same mentality, that every single thing we do, whether we're eating, whether we're drinking, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, everything in our life is bent towards this one singular end of making much of God. And yet the reality of it is, if we're honest in here, we have a tendency to think about the Christian realm in levels. And so we see guys like Todd or JP or individuals who get up on the stage and teach, and we kind of think, okay, that person's the Olympian. That person's varsity. And you look at your own life and you go, man, I'm JV. Or maybe I'm on the bench. And so you go, okay, if I'm on the team, I don't know if God wants me really playing as significant as a position as these guys. And so we often use that as an excuse to not get into the game. And the reality of it is that your faith was given to you so that you would fight. You were born again for the battle. And so these last several weeks, we've been talking about training for that battle. In fact, we opened this whole series talking about how spiritual disciplines, these things about prayer and scripture reading and meditation and memorization and fasting and all these different disciplines are really the training room, the weight room of the faith. And the real battle is what you do with them in your life. And so the real battle isn't whether or not you've read Ephesians 5 and understand that husbands should love your wives, but the real battle is for those who are married, the moment you go home going, hey, am I loving my wife sacrificially? Am I giving of my time, talents, and treasures so that I might lift her up? And so the battle for the believer is not the spiritual disciplines. That's the weight room. That's the training. And yet in this training, it prepares us for the battle. And so these last several weeks, we've been talking about the training. And now in our last summit of the year, we're gonna talk about the battle, what we've been training for. And so this morning, we're talking about the battle for the believer. In order to do that, we're gonna look into a passage in Ephesians chapter 6. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're gonna pick up in verse 10, and we're gonna go through 20. And so as we look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, we're really gonna see three things pertaining to this battle for the believer. First, we're gonna see your adversary. Every battle, every fight, every competition has an adversary, has an opponent. We're gonna see your adversary first. Then we're gonna see your armor. And then finally, we're gonna see your ally. And so those three things are where we're moving this morning as we look at the battle for the believer. And so first up, we're gonna see your adversary. And so we're gonna pick up actually in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6 that says this. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so right now, Paul is in prison as he's writing this letter. And so he has been beaten, he's been whipped, he's been marred, he's been mocked, and he's been brought into this prison cell, and he's writing this letter, and he, of all people, could have said, hey, our battle is against these guys, against Rome, against the political authorities in front of me. He could have said that, but he doesn't, because he understands that the battle for the believer is not against flesh and blood or against humanity, but rather against something far more dangerous. Far more scary. And so the reality of it is, in our country right now, it's really easy to kind of land in these us versus them mentalities. And so everything, you don't have to watch the news long to understand, man, we are divided in this country. There is an us versus them. There's this mentality that's really easy to say, hey, I'm in this camp and you're in this camp. And so because I'm in this camp and you're in this camp, I'm on the right team and you're my enemy. And so I'm gonna fight against you. You see it throughout the board. You see it in race. You see it in economics. You see it politically. you really see it politically? And what Paul is saying here is, look, they are not our enemy. In fact, throughout the scriptures, it talks about, hey, those that are obeying the will of God versus those that are not. He says, those that are not obeying the will of God and not following Christ, those people are being held captive by the enemy. They are not the enemy. And so we are on a campaign to rescue those individuals out of darkness into light through the power of God. And so the reality of it is, our enemy is not Hillary Clinton. It's not Donald Trump. It's not this group or that group or whatever you think of when you think of, hey, who are the people that I get most frustrated with? Who are the people that I kind of put into this category? And I go, I'm in the right camp, they're in the wrong camp. Whatever you have in your mind, those are not our enemy. There is an enemy that is real. And he would love to distract you with these petty little skirmishes as you ignore the real battle. Because there is an enemy that is much more powerful, much more dangerous, and much more cunning. There is a reality of a spiritual realm, and this enemy is bent against you. His weapons are not from man. His tactics are not visible. His attacks are unseen. And he's more powerful than you are. And his win at the end of the day is to get you to read Ephesians 5, but not to live it out in your marriage. His win at the end of the day is for you to see your community group go into conflict and not to move into it. His win at the end of the day for you is to play to your apathy that says, hey, you don't need to go to the weight room of the spiritual disciplines of your life. Because it's really easy to beat a football team that hasn't worked out. His win is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's more powerful. It's a chipper message this morning. That's our adversary. And we're helpless to defend against him or defeat him on our own. And yet the good news is that God has given us armor. He's given us armor. And so if our adversary is stronger than us, then God has given us this armor to defeat our adversary. We train ourselves with these spiritual disciplines. Now it's time to put on the armor. And that's what Paul continues with in verse 13. He says, therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt plate of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes of the feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which is able to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so once again, Paul is in prison right now, and he's talking to this group of individuals, these Ephesians that was meant to spread throughout the entire region, to spread this letter throughout the region and to us today. And he is thinking about this realm, the spiritual reality, and he's saying, hey, how do I represent that? And this guy is standing outside of his prison cell. And he's like, that'll work. And so he looks at this individual, this Roman centurion, which was the height of the Roman power, the strength of the Roman army was in this individual and how they united with other centurions and other soldiers. And so he's looking at this guy and he looks through his armor and it says, God has given us that, not physically, but spiritually. And so what I wanna do is, as you look at this picture, I wanna walk through what Paul saw physically in order for us to understand what he meant spiritually, but all this different armor. And so as we look at this and as we walk through these different pieces of armor, I want you to ask yourself a question that only you can answer. And that's, if somebody were to draw you spiritually, would you look like this guy? And so first up, Paul references this spiritual belt of truth. And so the physical belt of the Roman soldier was designed to do two things. First, it was designed to hold the sword and unite everything else, all the other components of the armor together. And so Paul sees that and he goes, you know what that reminds me of? The spiritual belt of truth. That idea of holding the word of God in place and holding everything else together, that reminds me of what is true. And so the physical The spiritual belt of truth is designed to do just that, to hold the word of God together close to you and to hold everything else in place. The physical breastplate, the Roman breastplate was designed to guard the heart and the most vital organs needed to sustain life. So Paul sees that and goes, that reminds me of the spiritual breastplate of righteousness, understanding that my righteousness is not my own. And so the thing that is truly preserving me, the thing that's truly protecting me, the things that protect in the most vital areas of my life is not my own perfection, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness given to me by God. And I have everything I need because I have this shield, or I have this breastplate over me. The physical shoes in verse 15, the Roman soldiers were given these unique shoes that were designed to be used both in marching long distance, but also fighting in sprints. They were designed for all occasions. They were lightweight, they were durable, and they became more comfortable the more you used them. Paul sees the shoes and he goes, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the gospel of peace. As I move throughout this world, I'm thinking, how do I share the gospel with myself constantly and with others? And in fact, the more I move around, whether it works in any circumstance, whether I'm marching, whether I'm fighting, whatever I'm doing with it, it works. This good news that Jesus loved us, lived for us, died for us, rose for us. I'm moving throughout the world and I'm thinking, how can I share this with others? And interesting enough, the more I do it, the more comfortable it feels. That's what Paul sees with the shoes. Next, he sees the physical shield. The Roman soldiers' main protection in battle. It was a defensive mechanism. It was designed to cover the entire body and it was painted with the colors of their country to signify, I am a part of this team. The shield was designed to fit side by side with other shields because the strength of the Roman army was not in the individual, but within unity. There was no such thing as an army of one in the Roman Empire. So Paul sees this and he goes, you know what this sounds like? This sounds like faith, that your main protection in battle, and it's designed to be linked up with brothers and sisters in Christ. Christianity is a team sport. It's not a one-person sport. The physical helmet was meant to protect the whole head and the neck. And Paul sees this and he goes, this reminds me of salvation. Just like the breastplate of righteousness, salvation is protecting me against the very thing I need for life. Salvation protects my entire life. And lastly, the physical sword. It was the main attack instrument. It was standard issue. It was the equivalent of what we think about in today's military with the rifle. And even in today's military, there's a close association between the soldier and his main attack weapon, the rifle, so much so that they have a rifleman's creed in the military that goes like this. This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one's mine. Without me, my rifle is useless. And without my rifle, I'm useless. You take out rifle and you put in word of God, and that is what it is for the believer. This is my Bible. There's many like it, but this one's mine. Without my Bible, I'm useless. I'm ineffective for battle. And without me, my Bible's useless because it just sits there and it collects dust. And Paul is saying, you know what? This is your main attack instrument. And so you wield it well. You take it out of its sheath because it's always sharp. And so he sees this physical realm and he goes, that's what God has given us. Do you look like that individual spiritually? If not, who do you look like? Because this is the armor of God. And this is what will defeat our adversary. But the reality of it is our armor is useless without our ally. Without our ally. Because your armor gets its strength from the ally. And he is who will ultimately defeat our adversary. And that's why verse 10, as we go back, we see the source of all strength. And it's not us. And it's not even our own armor. But it's him. It's Christ. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of whose might? His. Not your work, not your job, not the things you do, not the performance that you have, not the thing you have later today that go, this is what gives my life meaning. I'm going to find my strength in this so I can push forward in life. He says, no, the strength is not found in you. It's found in the Lord. And so the Roman soldier's armor was given to him as a gift from the emperor because the emperor wanted the Roman soldier to be readily equipped for the battle at hand. And so God has given you this armor to fight with, but this fight at the end of the day is not yours, it's the Lord. As you lean into his strength, his love, that's why the spiritual disciplines have never been the end goal, but intimacy with Christ has been. And as you're linked up with him, as you move throughout your day and your world, you become his ambassador, his soldier, and you begin to push back on the forces of darkness that are around you. And so what do you do with all this? Well, there's three things and we'll close. First up, you prepare yourself and you prepare others. If you truly believe that you're in a battle, if you truly believe that there's this armor that the emperor has given you, then you gotta get dressed. You gotta get ready. You don't go to a battle naked unless you're on Braveheart. Then apparently they did that. You go into it ready. And so for me, I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like the devil in the morning or whatever it is, my flesh, I can't always tell. I just feel like the spiritual darts are flinging at me. And for me, I just feel like I wake up and those thoughts, those lies, those things that are not of God are just there to wake me up. And there was a season in which I felt like that was really intense in my life. And so I started doing this thing that my father-in-law does and has done for the last 7 years. He said he would wake up and before he got out of bed, he said he would put on mentally the armor of God. And so I started doing that. I would lay in bed and I would just think through each little component of it. I would sit in there going, okay, I'm gonna first put on the belt of truth. What does that mean? I'm gonna remind myself of the truths of God, the thing that I know that are true, because all these lies are coming in my head right now. And the battle for me is won or lost in the first 20 minutes of the day often. And so I'm gonna hurry up and put on that belt of truth and remind myself that God loves me, he cares for me, he's lived for me, he's died for me. And I'm gonna wrap that around me so tight that no matter what happens in the day, I'm holding on to that truth. So I'm putting on the belt plate of truth and then I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness, reminding myself that my righteousness before God is not contingent on what I do today, but rather what Christ did for me on that cross. And so I put on the breastplate of righteousness and then I put on my shoes that is ready to share the gospel of peace. And so I'm thinking, hey, as I move throughout the day, who are the people in my life that need to hear this message, that need to hear about the hope that we have? And so I'm putting those on and then I'm putting on, picking up my shield and just going, look, I know that the devil is going to throw random things at me throughout the day. And so I need to be prepared. I need to be ready for that. And so I'm gonna pick up my shield and I'm gonna hold it tightly before me. And then I'm gonna put on the helmet of salvation to once again remind me that no matter how many darts hit that shield and how many sneak through, that my salvation is not found in me, but found in Christ. And then finally, I'm gonna pick up my sword. And I am not a morning person. But if I don't pull this out at the beginning of the day, for me, the day's lost. It's always sharp. I just need to pull it out. And I don't even remind myself of the truths within it. So you prepare yourself for battle, but you prepare others as well. As y'all have been talking around your table these last several weeks, you've probably noticed, hey, there's certain people that are stronger in different ones of the spiritual disciplines. There's certain people that might be further along in certain aspects of their journey. And so you fight together well. The Roman army had their strength in unity, not in individuality. And so ask questions. My hope and my prayer is that we as men on this campus would be men that frequently look at each other and say, hey, how's your time with the Lord going? Hey, what are the things you're struggling with right now? Hey, how can I be praying for you? You prepare yourself, but you prepare your brother as well. Secondly, you pray for yourself and pray for others. Verse 18 says it this way, praying at all times in the Spirit without prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, that's yourself, but then making supplication for all the saints, that's others. We're called to pray for ourselves and pray for others. As you read through your spiritual disciplines booklet, you saw a quote in there from John Piper that said, hey, prayer can either act as two things, either a wartime walkie-talkie or a domestic intercom. When we use it as a wartime walkie-talkie, it's when we're calling in aid from above for every situation we're in. When we're using it as a domestic intercom, just for more comforts in the den, it dysfunctions. And so you pray for yourself, but you find ways to pray for the men around you, because we're all in a battle. And our strength, again, is in unity. Lastly, you proclaim. You proclaim the gospel to yourself and to others. That's the truth that we need to hold on to. Verse 19 says, and also for me, that the words may be given to me to open my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The best defense is a good offense. And if this is a battle, which it is, then the best way to win is to solicit more soldiers for the battle. And so let's proclaim it to ourselves, yes, and we remind ourselves daily who God is and what he's done for me, but then we proclaim it to others. So last little illustration. In a war, any war movie you see, any war story you read about, any war you witness has two types of soldiers. The first type of soldier is very still. Is very, even if you looked at his face, he would look kind of calm. As bombs go off and bullets go by, he doesn't move. But another soldier is very active. He's moving. As bombs go off and bullets fly by, he's ducking. He's dodging, he's moving forward, he's moving into the chaos. What's the difference between those two soldiers? The first one is dead. And dead people don't fight. They just stay dead, because that's all they can do. The second soldier is alive. And when you're alive, you move forward and you fight. The reality of it is, we as believers, we're not born again into the garden. We are born in the midst of a war. We are born in the midst of a battle. We have an adversary that is stronger than we are. But we've been given armor that cannot be destroyed and an ally that cannot be defeated. And so link up with one another and let's fight. And let's fight together. Let me pray for us. Well, Lord, I just do thank you for these last several weeks as we've all just been in the weight room of faith. And so, Father, I do pray that even though we might have spent more time with you through prayer and scripture and all these different things, that, Father, we would never forget that the battle is not there. The battle is now picking up the sword and picking up the shield and not hiding behind the shield, but pushing forward with sword in hand. That, Father, that we would be changed from the inside out, and it would affect how we treat ourselves, how we think about ourselves, how we think about you, how we think about others, and how we treat them. So, Lord, be with us in this time as we just discuss what you have taught each and every individual one of us over these last 7 or 8 weeks. So, Father, be with us as we just discuss these things, and we ask these things through your Spirit and in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Around your table, you have different questions. We'll come up at the end and give you some practical takeaways as well of just what's kind of next. A joy of mine these last couple of weeks to kind of move around different tables. And so one of my roles these last couple of weeks was just to jump around really tables 5 through 9. And we had other people jumping around different tables. And so my favorite line of the entire study actually came the first week around one of our tables. In which we were talking about what areas are we doing well in, what can we improve upon, and one of the guys said, hey guys, the last time I fasted was when I got my colonoscopy. And we were just like, okay, that's a creative way to do it. I don't know if you can make it consistent or communal, But that is a challenge that you can try yourself. But it's been great to move around the different tables, hear the different conversations, and just as we are in the weight room together, now moving out into the battle. And so we wanted to give you some pretty tangible ways that you can continuously kind of jump into various things happening here, and then continuously grow yourself. And so we know that a lot of people here coming in on Summit maybe are new to Watermark. And so Watermark is huge on community. That is literally our middle name, Watermark Community Church. And so if you're not a member here, if you're not in community, we want to encourage you to jump into that, because like we talked about earlier, the strength is not in your, the Christian that isn't a part of the local church is an oxymoron. The Christian that doesn't go to church doesn't make sense in the light of Scripture. And so if the strengths are in numbers, and that's what community's for. And so membership and a thing called Group Link are going to be coming up in the first of the year. And so if you're interested in jumping in on that, you can contact a guy named Jeff Parker, the guy who was hosting earlier this morning, or Rob Berry. We're going to send all this out in an email later today with a bunch of resources and different things you can click to, but just kind of big overview. We have membership classes and Group Link starting in the first year of the year. And so maybe your resolution for 2017 is, hey, I've been coming to church for a long time, or hey, this is my first time to really jump into any type of church deal, but I really want to link arms with my fellow brothers and link our shields together and move forward. And that will be the catalyst for your development. You don't just make it consistent. You don't just make it creative. You make it communal. And so jump into that. We also have some other just equipping opportunities for you. Starting in the first of the year, every Thursday in January, 6:30 to 8, we're going to be doing something kind of new called Legacy. Legacy is a ministry that a bunch of guys here just kind of raised their hand and said, hey, we want to minister specifically to men over 50. We believe that there's certain things about men over 50 that are unique to that age group in that season of life. And we want to ensure that those guys and invest in those guys and have us just kind of sit around the table and talk about how we can leave a mark in this season of life. And so if you're interested in that, that'll be in the email as well. You'll be able to sign up. And so there's Legacy. If you're interested in just kind of, if you jumped into this spiritual disciplines and go, man, I really want to jump in some more, there's a lot of different ways to do that. First up is a thing called Equip Disciple. Equip Disciple is a ministry that just walks through various spiritual disciplines, much in the way that we've done these last several weeks. And there's different levels of it, and there's different times you can jump in. And so, but on the whole, they meet Thursday nights from 7 to 8:30 here at the Plano campus. We also have a ministry called Deeper Dive, which is small group format. It's an increased look in depth into the spiritual disciplines, and it's increasing your time commitment and level of accountability within it. So if you spent time throughout the last several weeks going through this booklet and going, man, I dwell deep, now I want a deep dive, you can do that. Jump in, sign up, we'll send out that email. But for me, I know that as my wife asked me, hey, how has this study been? And I was just midway through it at the time and going, hey, I know that I feel like this is something that I need to pull out about once a year and just spend 7 weeks either by myself or with a community of people and just kind of walking through the spiritual disciplines again, kind of like spring training to get ready for the next season. And so that's kind of my plan throughout it all. And that might be something that you tuck this away somewhere that you pull out every year. Lastly, there's a little thing that we're going to do again in the spring called Summit. And so we're going to jump into the book of Philippians next year in Summit. We're going to start in February. And so the reason we picked Philippians is because Philippians talks a lot about just how do you have joy? How do you have joy in this life? It says over and over and over, rejoice in this, rejoice in this, and rejoice in this. And it just happens to fall around the same time that someone's going to be elected into office. And so we're going to need some joy in our life. And so it'll push us. We'll use the spiritual disciplines throughout that. But it'll be how do you read through a book of your Bible on your own, employing things like meditation, memorization, prayer, and scripture reading, and things of the like. And so outside of all of that, men, we need you. We need you to jump in. You have not been trained just to go off and to fill your mind. There's situations at this campus that we need men to jump into. We need them to move into the chaos, move into the mess with. There's opportunities across the board. And so often we have so many gifts that God's given us. And so we go to work and we employ those gifts there, but then we come to church and we don't. And we feel like that we're missing out on something. And that's because God has designed us to link arms together for all of us, the entire body of Christ, to move forward. And so today in that email, you're gonna hear things about children's ministry, the need for that. We need men investing in the next generation of children's ministry. If you wanna be an evangelist, if you wanna see lives change, jump into children's ministry, jump into student ministry. Talk to Daniel, talk to Chase, email them through the link we'll send you. We need people jumping into things like Regen and Reengage that are leading. But if you yourself go, hey, I know I'm in a battle, but I feel pretty injured, wounded right now. We all have hurts, habits, and hangups, and the majority of our own staff has walked through Regen. That's something that you yourself can jump into as well. There is an enormous amount of opportunity both to be equipped here, but then also to go to war here. And so my hope and my prayer for you guys and for myself is that we would continuously grow in our relationship with the Lord, but that would affect not just our head, but our heart and our hands as well. And so let me pray for us, and we'll see you guys next year. Lord, we love you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men that have just said, hey, for these next 7 or 8 weeks, I wanna sit around a table and just evaluate where I am with prayer and memorization and scripture and all these different spiritual disciplines. And Father, I pray that as they leave these doors, they would recognize and I would recognize that we're walking into the battle. And every single day, we're either taking ground or losing ground. And so Father, thank you that your son has obtained our victory in the end. So Father, help us to cling close to him in everything we do, that we wouldn't just make it consistent and creative and communal and a challenge, but we would always make it Christ-centered. So Lord, we love you. And we ask these things through your spirit and in your son's name, amen.